Well, good morning. Most people make the assumption that miracles can't happen. So therefore, the resurrection of Jesus was impossible. At best, resurrection is problematic to modern thinking. But let me say this to you today. It may be problematic, but does anyone think we don't need resurrection in this world? Is there anyone at a funeral who doesn't hope to be reunited with their loved ones someday? Do any of us who, having made huge mistakes, even illegal ones, not hope for second chances and third chances and all the chances? Who of us, having faced serious illness or terminal diagnosis, don't hope for healing? Does anyone hearing of cruelty or poverty in the world not hope for something to be done or for someone to rise up against injustice? And why care about other people at all if resurrection is a myth and we all just end in dust? If we're honest, there are times we all hope for resurrection. About 20 years ago, I contracted a near-fatal blood disease. If you're wondering, it all turned out okay. During my 14 weeks of recovery, I took great comfort in prayer and reading the Bible, especially the book of Psalms, which are poems of praise and lament. One psalm really spoke to me about finding rest and peace in God's presence and hope for eternity, despite my circumstances. Now, I read it aloud daily while in hospital, and it says this in part: "You, God, show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." That's from Psalm 16. Now, I remember thinking, gee, I hope I recover, but if I die, at least I get a promotion to head office. A nurse came in while I was reading Psalm 16 one morning and asked me why I read that psalm every day and how I could be calm given the seriousness of my illness. And I remember clearly saying to her, when you face the possibility of death, resurrection looks pretty good. And she said she wasn't sure about all that Easter stuff. And so I said, well, you know, without resurrection, there's no hope for any of us. Resurrection explains faith testimonies and baptisms. It's why at Gateway we believe Christian faith is the most wonderful and most reasonable religion on the planet. For Christians, the issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not Jesus is liked, but whether he rose from the dead. And if he did, it changes everything. The Apostle Paul said, "We believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, and so we also believe we will rise with him when he returns." Now, you may have heard arguments against this belief, you know, that followers of Jesus were shattered at his death and willed themselves to not believe it. So they began to live as if he was still with them, as some people do today when they lose loved ones. And therefore the gospel stories were written to reinforce this belief, which all sounds plausible to modern Western ears, until you look at actual historical evidence and the cultural context of the time, at how Middle Eastern people tell stories and pass their traditions on to others. And we don't have time to do all that today, but let me give you a couple of reasons why I believe in Jesus' resurrection and what it means for you and for me today. First, we have to acknowledge the testimony of eyewitnesses as recorded in the Bible. One argument against the resurrection of Jesus is that the Bible accounts were constructed long after Jesus' death and are therefore inaccurate myths. Well, while the Gospels, you know, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are all dated between 70 and 100 AD, The first accounts of the empty tomb and the eyewitnesses are actually found in letters of the Apostle Paul that are dated within 20 years of Jesus' death. And modern historians tell us that as far as any ancient document goes, whether it's the Iliad or anything, this time frame is amazingly close to the event and therefore indicates that the writings likely have a high degree of accuracy. Paul wrote, "I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12 apostles. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his own followers at one time, most of whom who are still alive, though some have died by now." Now, when Paul wrote that letter to Corinth in Greece, it was a public document. It's meant to be read aloud, not as we would read books today. Generally, people didn't have the ability to read. So it was always read publicly, in the synagogues, in the churches. So it could be checked with many available eyewitnesses still alive at the time of writing and present. Therefore, what Paul said could have been easily called out as false. But there isn't any evidence that it was refuted in any literature or government records of the day. Secondly, Paul says he was retelling the story as it was told to him. So he's not telling a mythology. Modern historians confirm that actual events are retold with great accuracy and details, but fiction becomes grander and more fanciful every time a story is told. Thirdly, each gospel states that the first eyewitnesses were women. If we do our study, we know women's evidence was not admissible in courts of that day. So it's logical that if the first believers wanted to prove their case, they would have put men in that role. But they didn't. The only reasonable explanation of why women were recorded as the first to see Jesus raised from the dead is that it's true. Second, we have to acknowledge the birth and expansion of the church. After Jesus' death, a whole community of believers exploded into existence with a brand new set of beliefs, human rights, and a new moral worldview that before then, in Roman and Greek times, was unthinkable. Eminent scholar N.T. Wright says, "Such a massive societal shift usually takes decades or even centuries to happen. However, the emergence of passionate, dynamic Jesus communities sprang up over Asia Minor and Europe almost overnight." Wright argues that skeptics, therefore, must give an historical, plausible reason for the explosion of faith and the expansion of the church if the resurrection of Jesus wasn't the trigger. An explosion of faith, I might add, that happened despite persecution, torture, and death to many Christians. Here's how the Apostle Peter, another eyewitness to the resurrection of Jesus, tells us what these faith communities looked like. "Those who believed were baptized and added to the church, about 3,000 in all in one day. They joined with the other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. All the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people," not just church people, but all the people in the city. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. What a powerful and expansive community of faith. Why should even skeptics want resurrection to be true? Because the resurrection of Jesus gives us all hope that one day we also will rise. To rise not just in the future, but to rise every day from now until forever. The reality of the resurrection is that above discouragement and disappointment, we will rise up. Above inequality and injustice, we will rise up. Above bad circumstances and lifestyle pressures, we will rise up. Together, Gateway, we will rise up to be the church that Jesus' death and resurrection created. A church so expansive with energy, so loving, so inclusive and holy, that every tribe and every nation will declare, Jesus is Lord.